The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
SWV. Let's welcome Miss Candida Khan this morning. Welcome. Welcome back. How are you?
The weather is,
How is the weather? What you said?
The weather is gloomy.
It's gloomy. Well, we are here to spread joy.
Yes, yes, yes. It's been a really rough week with the weather.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, we were expecting that the rainy season would begin, but we didn't expect it to begin with such a bang, if you understand.
Yeah.
You know?
No sunlight. I miss seeing the sun.
So what are we talking about today? I know that we continue our discussion on healthy eating. And what is there on the agenda for today?
Well, something came up this week and I thought it was a really interesting topic. And it was about basically being skinny fat and being skinny and having lifestyle diseases.
Okay.
Because I think that there's a big misconception that if once you look a specific way, you shouldn't have a lifestyle issue.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. And even if you have a healthy body composition, it still doesn't mean that you could be lifestyle disease free.
Okay. So what would be the indicators or signs that someone who you expect to be nice, slim and trim may have? Because, I mean, I know that the other side of it, there are some very healthy, we like to call them tick people out there.
Right.
You know, and they would be stronger and have a whole lot more stamina than others. So how do we tell the difference?
Yeah, and there's a big misconception and myth when it comes to it too, because there are lots of different types of people, and it could be somebody who exercises every single day and somebody thinks, well, look, he looks fit, he looks healthy, and then he has diabetes or he has high blood cholesterol, and then people would think, well, if he has it and he's running every day and he should be healthy, then, you know, what's to say for the rest of us? What's the point of trying to be healthy if you're still going to be sick? But that's not the case. It's more complicated because, so this is the main thing. In order for you to know if you have any risks, in order for you to know if you need to take different interventions and different precautions when it comes to your health and your health goals, then you have to do your tests, because there's no other way. You can't look at someone, there could be possible very slight signs and symptoms, but usually for lifestyle diseases, pressure, sugar and cholesterol, there is none. And that's why if you go see a doctor for like a random concern, it's always good to double check, what's your blood pressure, what's your sugar like today? You know, and then eventually I do think you should also check cholesterol. It's not a more common one to check, but it's definitely very important, because cholesterol and pressure combined increases your risk for stroke, heart attack, which is very common. I mean, I'm sure everyone knows somebody who has had an issue with their heart or had a stroke or something like that, or had high blood cholesterol. If you combine pressure and sugar, usually that issue is linked to kidney damage and kidney failure and foot amputations and loss of vision and a lot of other complications too. So it's very important to know that it's very difficult to just look at someone and know, and just look at someone and think, well, they look healthy, they should be fine, let's not double check these things. Or they're skinny. So of course, if they're slim and trim, how could they have pressure? How could they have sugar? Because at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with the way that you look. Now, a healthy body composition is different. So when I say skinny fat, it means that you could look slim and then your visceral and body fat percent is extremely high.
Now, can you explain what visceral, the difference between body fat and visceral fat?
Yes. So your body fat is your total fat in your body, head to toe, right? Compared to muscle, water, bones, every other tissue. It's just fat is focused on. Now, the different types of fat. The visceral fat is the fat around the organs, like your heart, kidneys, lungs, liver. That's the internal fat. it's you can't see it really. It's around your organs, so it's impossible for you to just look at someone and see. And then there's the subcutaneous fat, which is underneath the skin. That one is less dangerous because, again, it's just under the skin. It's more for, like, you know, nice thermal heat in this rainy weather. But the internal visceral fat is the one that's dangerous, and that could harm the organs from functioning properly. And that was what could lead to a lot of lifestyle diseases and complications. So knowing your numbers is important, and that's why in the store, we have a body composition assessment scale. It's only $50. You could do a full body comp. And Mondays, we have a discount for $45, but it gives you your body fat, muscle mass, hydration status, bone, metabolic age, visceral fat, and subcutaneous fat, all the values you need to know. Because at the end of the day, if you think you're doing something that should bring your body fat down and you just use your regular scale, it's not going to tell you that. And typically, when you do that, or you think that, well, I'm doing the right thing, usually it's not. And then when you jump on the scale, you'll see that your body fat is going through the roof if you're doing a diet or a gimmick or something where you don't eat on time and, you know, you restrict yourself and it's because you just want to lose weight fast. But honestly, you gain body fat faster. And that's a real, real, real issue. So yeah, skinny fat is a huge thing, and people don't really understand it, and they will pacify people who say, well, I'm not feeling well, or I feel like something's off, because they look at them and they say, well, you look healthy, or you should be fine because you look like you have a good weight, you know? And it's so dangerous. I think it's way more important to do the blood test and double check. I know everybody probably scared of the needle.
Well, Anna, I have a fear with needles since young, right? So Is there any other way that you can do those testing without having to draw blood?
I'm so sorry. The only non-invasive one is the blood pressure monitor. Mm-hmm. And that's the tip to test your pressure. But to test sugar and cholesterol, yeah, you're going to have to take blood. And that's, it'll give you, if you want, you could do your whole profile for your organs. Do the whole works one time. Mm-hmm. If you know you hate the needle. Just take it once, let them take out enough blood to do like your profiles for your kidneys and your liver and you know, your blood, mm-hmm. white blood cells, red blood cells. Do it all one time so that you don't need to go again if something comes up, and it's better to see your profile that way. And at least, you know, so if you have no risk, then, you know, every year or something like that, you could always check if you want. If you have if you did like one blood test, like a finger prick by someone's house, and you realize, hey, you just want to check your sugar, and you say, oh my, mine looks like it's high. And you just try it again another day, and then you're like, oh no, it's still high. Then, you know, you probably need to go and do the proper blood test to make sure. But yeah, typically that's how people are diagnosed, because again, you don't feel sick usually, you don't have signs and symptoms usually. And when you look at yourself and you think you look fine and you think you're watching your health and you think you're watching what you eat and you're doing all these things, and yeah, you tend to not check it. And lifestyle diseases, I'm telling you, plague a lot of us. I'm sure everybody knows one person who has a lifestyle disease. Mm-hmm. It's so common, and it's not spread from person to person. It's non-communicable. So it's because of your eating habits. And then some people say, well, I eat the same as my wife, or I eat the same as my husband, or I eat the same as my kids or my siblings or my parents. And why do I have diabetes, or why do I have high blood pressure? You know,
is it that they, well, you called out different age groups as well of individuals for families. May it probably be they're eating the same menu or same diet, but some probably are more active than others. Some, utilize the nutrients in a different way, so those things wouldn't show up in their bodies.
Right. So again, it's because of that specific person. So remember, we are all different. Even if we have siblings, even if we have parents and we are genetically connected, it still doesn't mean that because one person have a lifestyle disease, you will get it. Or because one person doesn't, you wouldn't. Because again, a lifestyle disease is dependent on you and how your body processes the foods, how your body processes the stress, how your body processes your schedule, how your body processes your sleep, your anxiety. Like, every single person is completely different. And that's why I focus on a personalized approach in my consultancy, because nothing else will work. You cannot give the same thing to every single person and expect them to follow it and then let that be sustainable. It's impossible. We are all different. We have different likes and preferences and dislikes and allergies and backgrounds. And creating something specific for that person is key. So, for example, yes, one person could eat a whole avocado and it does nothing to their cholesterol from the topics previously, you know. And one person could eat some fat and their cholesterol is through the roof. One person could have a salt biscuit and they're normal. And another person could eat the same salt biscuit and their pressure is through the roof. So, again, it is dependent on each individual. And I know sometimes it's a downer because everybody wants to compare. And they're like, oh, but how come this person is like this and I'm like this? And, you know, that my neighbor is like this and I'm like this. And they could eat all they want and gain no weight. And they look so slim. And I eat one piece of fry and I blow up like a potato, you know. But it's again, you have to just focus on you, focus on your body, focus on what your body needs, focus on what your body doesn't need, what your body's telling you it could digest well, what it cannot digest well. And once you understand that, it's what, because comparison is a huge killer. It destroys you on a whole, and it definitely affects you in a negative way when you look at other people and you compare. And it also prevents your progress. You know,
especially if you're not too clear on what's happening with the other individual, in terms of their other, well, they may eat one thing in front of you. You know, some people are hidden dieters, hidden, you know, they eat stuff behind closed doors. So eats one thing in public and in private is something else. What I wanted to ask you, when do you do a stress test?
So, I mean, in terms of stress, I think we all, honestly, I think our stress levels through the roof. I don't know. The only way Trudy's know how to manage stress is to drink alcohol at party.
And, well, I mean, sometimes that's a good way of relieving stress. And there are those who party without alcohol, too, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, Lyman is definitely one way. But, so, I mean, stress tests are... when you do, it has different ones, right? And there's a common one with the treadmill, and then you're monitoring like your heart rate and see how it increases over time and those sort of things. I think your doctor would recommend it based on specific issues that you're going through and if something's up with you. But usually, in terms of overall stress and overall anxiety and overall work stress and home stress and, you know, family stress and land stress and whoever want this piece and that piece dramas of regular treaties in this world. Yeah, it's just important to better manage it with finding a healthy way to release your stress levels. So keyword healthy. So again, the main lifestyle issues that people go towards besides the drinking and the partying and alignment is the smoking, and it's like you're destroying your future, you're destroying your health, you're destroying your life. And again, it's just the same as being caffeine addicted, as being nicotine addicted. It's just from one legal drug to the next legal drug. You know, so going to all these devices that, you know, give you that stress relief, I think it's better to just drink some chamomile tea. You know, just drink some chamomile tea. Just like, you know, read a book, go for a walk, you know, do something, watch a movie, like a funny movie, or watch some funny videos, or like remove yourself from the environment and go somewhere else. Like, there's so many other ways to relax and de-stress. And I think it's just way more important to know that, because a lot of people do say that. They're like, So should I do like a test to see how my cortisol levels are? Do I need to do that sort of test? And the truth is, even if it's high, the solution is, you know what I mean? It's still going to be the same. You're still going to have to find ways to channel out your stress in a healthy way that's not going to add to your illness at the end of the day. So, yeah, the doctors would definitely recommend stress tests for different reasons. It's usually to monitor the heart and pressure and breathing and all of that if you have heart issues. But besides that, in terms of overall stress, yeah, we definitely need to find better ways to manage it. Because stress will create higher body fat. So,
and higher instances of cholesterol being in that blood. Let's take a short break and keep a point there, because I want to understand how stress can, besides cholesterol, what other diseases can stress bring on in the body. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And welcome back, TNT. So we step back into our conversation with Ms. Khan as we talk about stress, the effect of stress on the body, and what other diseases can be that can come out on the body from anxiety, stress, etc.
Yes, yes. So in terms of stress, right, I think when you have a pre-existing condition, so let's say if you are in the pre-stages of diabetes, pressure, cholesterol, so it's just a tiny little elevation, usually stress will make it 10 times worse. And also, it could make your body fat go up. Because you see, that cortisol hormone, right, the job is to help you survive danger. So it sort of like raises everything very quickly. And when you are under stress for a very long time, then it could keep it at high levels, which again is dangerous to the body, because it's supposed to be more for like a fight response. You know, and it's like an immediate stress to increase the cortisol and adrenaline and everything to give you that energy that you need to like get away or fight back or whatever from a specific situation. But yeah, it definitely raises those things very quickly. And that's why managing the stress is so vital. So it, when you have high cortisol, what it does is that you end up craving more. So over time, you'll have more cravings, you'll have increased appetite, so you'll tend to go to comfort foods because you have like emotional instability because you're stressed out and you need to emotionally eat your favorite junk food. And again, over time, if you keep using that as the solution to your stress, it is going to create a habit. And every time you're stressed and you have this feeling, then you're going to emotionally overeat something that is not nutritious, not adding to your wellness, only adding to your illness. And then you're going to crave the junk food, and then you're going to have like, of course, you're going to have fat storage, because where else is it supposed to go, especially if your body doesn't need it, you know? So stress, that's why stress is so dangerous. And in terms of sugar, of course, you're going to have sugar spikes, because then there's a resistance in your body when it comes to the insulin to help to regulate the blood sugars for, again, that sort of response. So on top of all of that too, one of the most dangerous ones is sleep deprivation. So I think majority of us in Trinidad actually don't get enough sleep. And that will increase your stress hormones, that will make your pressure go up, that will keep your cholesterol high, that will create, high blood sugars. So when it comes to it, it's very important to try your best to function, like channel out the stress, but in a healthy way. Because I think like majority of us might get, 5-6 hours of sleep if we're lucky, and that's not good. We're supposed to be getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep every single day, you know? So when you lack the sleep, on top of that, that makes your body stress out even more, because then your body can't get a hold on the stress hormones. And when you lack the sleep, the stress hormones will be activated throughout the whole time. So deep sleep is then affected because you will be deprived of it if you lack sleep, right? And then, of course, when you have high blood cortisol, it does increase your risk for inflammation along with the bad cholesterol, the LDL, and it does decrease the good cholesterol, the HDL. So overall effects of stress with that specific hormone, the cortisol hormone, is definitely detrimental long term if you cannot get it under control. And even like, you know, if you do, besides the deep breathing and the stretching and trying to like drink a tea and listen to music, read a book, go for a walk, like the other healthy things you should be trying. I mean, you have to understand what your stressors are in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So identifying exactly what it is that's stressing you out and then trying to work around it. If you could focus on a solution or like how exactly you could create like some sort of way to channel it out and get what you want out of the situation, because basically stress comes about when things don't go your way. You know, when things don't go exactly the way it planned. Even sitting in traffic, like, okay, you're heading to work or you're heading to an appointment and there's back-to-back traffic, you're going to be stressed out. But you have to understand that, okay, it's not your fault. You know, if you sit down there and you just stress and you're basically banging your head against the steering wheel, I mean, that is damaging you. That's damaging your body, your health, your future, your life. So finding ways to get that stress out is important. If it's music, if you have a stress relief ball, there's also like, I know like a lot of companies give that away free and we take it for granted. We just like throw it on the side or something. Like, you know, those squishy.
The squishy toys, yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me, do you think that fidget spinners play a part in stress relief?
Yeah.
Or would it just like contribute to distractions?
Both. because you know, some people have very bad anxiety, like when they might bite their nails or they might dig out pieces of their finger, like, you know, keep playing with pieces of their fingers or something like that. So the fidget spinners gives them a way to channel out that energy in a less harmful way.
Mm-hmm. Quickly, you know, sorry to interrupt, but I've got a caller on the line. Hello, good morning, you have a question?
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Yes, I heard the doctor spoke about the visceral fat. How could you reduce that fat around the organs?
Thanks for your call.
Nice, very nice question. Yeah, so back to the skinny fat topic in terms of that organ fat, right? First, you have to make sure that you have to check your values. So get your body composition assessment done and know your numbers. It should be less than 6 average, right? Well, safe, and less than between 11 and 6 is average, which is a little bit higher than it should be, a little bit more dangerous, and then above 11 is crazy. So the main things that I have noticed, and again, a lot of people will hate me for saying it because this is a trend, and you know, I'm all for healthy living. It's not about trends to me, it's about what's best for your body. The intermittent fasting, the large gaps between the meals, when you skip, when you starve, when you diet, your visceral fat goes up. When you think that, okay, well, I'm going to just cut out this here, cut out that here, because I looked online, I read this article, and oh, someone said that they did it and it worked for them, so I'm going to try it. And on your overall scale, you might see a pound less, but just think about it, right? Muscle compared to body fat, there's a larger volume of muscle to give the same weight as larger volume of body fat to give the same weight as muscle. So for example, if basically muscle is fat is lighter in a sense, right? So you would never be able to tell that on a scale. You have to get your body comp done, but skipping meals is a huge risk factor and it does increase your body fat. So you do the opposite to get your visceral fat out. You eat on time. You make sure you have breakfast. You make sure you have lunch. You make sure you have dinner. You have snacks in between. Eating more often, even back to the cortisol, eating more often reduces your stress hormones, which will reduce your body fat internally.
Now, the thing is, the concept of eating more or more often, It's almost like a contradictory statement to make, because we've been brought up on the idea of 3 square meals a day and that's it. To be healthy, to be, you know, at your prime, you've got to have 3 meals, breakfast most importantly, lunch definitely, and if you can, a dinner, probably a light snack if it is your, in that kind of mood. But you are saying, on average, how many meals a person really supposed to have? I mean, we talk about portion control as well, but how, on average, how many meals is a safe number to play with?
Yeah, and it honestly depends on your schedule, because you see, and this is where it comes in, it's a little bit difficult for shift workers, because then a lot of people think that, well, I can't wake up and eat the same time as I think I should, because my shift is different. So again, your day is completely different and dependent on your wake up time and your sleep time. And then that will space out how much meals you eat and how much snacks you eat. But let's say a typical, you know, you wake up, you have breakfast by 8, and you could probably have like a little snack, maybe, I don't know, 11 if lunch is like 1. And because I know sometimes people say they make up a lot of excuses when it comes to lunch and they don't get lunch on time and at work and all of these things. So let's say if it's in a little snack, then you have lunch by 1. You could have another snack maybe around 4 to 5, because I know no one is going to eat 12 snacks, you know, 8, like timing is going to be off. And then you could have dinner safely 7, 8, because everyone has to reach home. I know the traffic is crazy, and I know that the hours are crazy. So that would be like an example of an average day for what people go through these during the week.
Yeah, I've got another caller probably with a question. Let's quickly take it. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Tosca.
Morning.
Yeah. The information that your guest is giving is contrary to information that I have listened to from medical doctors giving dietary advice based on their studies and their own expertise and their own clinics and so on. Dr. Robert Lustig and Dr. Pradeep Jamandas and others.
Thanks so much, Devasa Chase. Would you have any comments on that? I know that maybe what he's, the doctors he's referring to is different to what you practice. Could you give an idea as to, you know, what your field is about?
Yes. So, no, that's a very good point. And this comes back to the same thing where I say that you see things online, you look at videos, you look at articles, you look at other people saying things, and that is why it gets confusing. I focus on real life people and real life facts. So don't guess. This is my advice. Don't just say, oh, well, somebody said this, and because they have a credible background in your eyes, you would believe it. No. If you have been thinking that intermittent fasting is good and you've been doing it, go do your body comp before you start. Do your body comp in a few weeks of doing what you've been doing, and you will see for yourself, because I've had clients do it already and they have seen it. Every single person who has dieted, their visceral fat is through the roof. It is extremely high, and they sit down and look at me like so confused, and I completely understand the confusion, because you keep being told something and you feel like if it's good advice because it comes from a specific person. But you have to understand, these are the results that you're getting. So obviously it doesn't equate. If your visceral fat is supposed to go down with intermittent fasting, then why is it so high? So check it yourself, right? That's my advice. But yeah, so again, everyone's background is different. So my background, and this is why I did create a post on what's the difference between a registered dietitian, a nutritionist, and all these things, it's different. So my field is nutrition. It's about food for fuel. I don't promote pills or supplements. I don't promote diets. I don't promote restrictions. I help all of my clients to learn and understand how to eat to nourish their body so that they could be happy and healthy. No diets, no like feeling they can't eat what they love. It's all about creating a better balance. So my degree is in nutrition and dietetics. My internship, I did in Trinidad, also in the same field, and then the master's in nutrition in Jamaica. And then, of course, you still have to do some further education, but my whole background is nutrition, is food. So if you do a short course and then you have, you could do that. Like people do short courses and then say they're nutritionists, but it doesn't actually give you the vast amount of information that you need to know to actually help someone with their health. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of misinformation online. I want to focus on the facts and the truth. Go on the scale, check before and check after, and you will see for yourself. Your visceral fat is going to go up. I had somebody did the same thing. They came to me for advice. They lost body fat within the first couple weeks. And then, so they saw it on the scale. And then they went to a doctor, and the doctor told them, do the keto, do the intermittent fasting. And then when they came back a couple weeks after, I saw, so on the scale, overall, the weight looked the same. Or they lost like 1 pound. So I was like, okay, good. And then when I looked at the body fat and the muscle mass, I was like, wait a second, what happened? Because their muscle mass dropped, it plummeted, and their body fat went extremely high, like double what their body fat was previously. And their visceral fat went up, and I sat there and I was like, what happened? What did you do? And then I was like, well, this doctor told me to keto and intermittent fasting, so I thought it was going to help me, and I did lose a pound. I was like, yeah, but your muscle mass reduced drastically and your body fat increased drastically. So that's actually way more dangerous because your body composition just flipped. And that's why, again, you can't look at someone and say that they should be healthy, because internally there's a lot of things that could be happening because of your eating habits that could actually make it more dangerous for you and could make your lifestyle diseases 10 times worse.
So I've got let me see if the caller is still there. Hello, good morning. All right, sorry, lost that one. But we had a few calls coming in. I'm seeing a voice note here as well. Let's try to see if we can get this in as well. Hold on.
Hello and good morning, Tuska. So all good. What we want this government to do?
Okay, wrong voice note. We will deal with that after as well. But going back to understanding how we can, mostly it is about diet and making sure that we eat regularly. You said that intermittent fasting isn't such a good idea. Am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, in my point of view, mm-hmm. I would not promote something that I know is going to harm you long term. Mm-hmm. Because remember, all of these diets were created for specific health issues, not for like general use. And people are using it because they think they would lose weight with it. And that's the main purpose of every single diet and every single gimmick and every single weight loss capsule out there. Everyone just wants like a quick fix for their weight. Everyone wants to lose weight. But is the type of weight that you're losing that's more important? Are you losing body fat or are you actually losing your muscle mass? And majority of the time is going to be muscle. So it's very, very dangerous, I think, long term. And that's why the diets and stuff, you can't do it for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because then you crash and you crave and you binge and, you know, it kind of makes you spiral with all of your hormones and everything.
Now, just always going back to the original point that you're making, it always about tailoring it for yourself, meaning you look at your habits, look at what you like to eat, what you don't like to eat, and also your visceral fat, that number, your stress number, cholesterol, blood sugar count. So you've got to do a whole full medical before coming to you and bring those results so that you could understand, well, this is how I am and these are the things that I eat and how to change it.
Yeah, so usually, because people, Chinese, that's finally, they use me as a last resort, which is not good. Because they come to me when they have these issues, like already, you know.
It's already there. I've got a call quickly. Let's take this one. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very interesting program. About 2.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with diabetes. And my first reading was 8.7. So they told me, my doctor said I was on the borderline. So your girl went and started from there. They put me on metformin from like 3 times a week, right? because it was like that. So your girl went on a strict diet. You know, we ladies, like, we like to make sure and ensure. So what has happened is that I wasn't eating any sugar. I wasn't using no oil. Your girl ain't even eating an ice cream, drinking a soft drink. It's oats, it's beetroot. All those things are good. Smoothies and everything. What has happened? I lost my weight. I lost a lot of weight. So when I went back to my doctor, he was like, okay, your weight from 130-something went to 120. Then the next time I went back, 115, and it dropped to 190. And I told him what I've been doing. For a second opinion, I went privately, and the doctor said, you need to eat food and be happy. And my sugar have gone down. Every time I did my blood test, like when I go back to my clinics, it's 5 point something, 5 point something, 5 point. It is like Dr. Joel, I called him one night on TV, and he said, your sugar has been reversed. But I was still continuing doing what I was doing. And my arms are sagging. I've lost weight. I tell you, I reached like 109 now. And I have started about 1 month ago eating everything in moderation. I tell you, I wasn't even didn't want to eat a fruit because I said that is sweet as well, a mango, like that. And I have started now eating everything in moderation and I will take like half of metformin.
Thanks so much for your call. And any closing comments with 6 minutes to go?
Oh, yeah. No, that was really good. I'm so happy you called. So when your HbA1c should be less than 5.7, that tells you basically over 3 months how your sugar levels fluctuate. So 8 is high. I don't know why they said free, but I guess they don't want to scare you, you know. But you see, when you do those drastic changes, I'm happy that it brought your HbA1c down. That's great. But what I'm saying is you could just understand how to balance food and eat for your body without that restriction, because all of the things that she described with the skin sagging and all of that, the quality of life definitely reduced, because again, she was it's very restrictive, right? What happened. And of course it was unfair and you want to get your values down fast, so it's understandable. But again, seeking the right advice will save you, because that fast weight loss, you would have lost muscle as well, 100,000%. That's why it's skin sagging. When you lose weight in a healthy way, your skin is like an elastic band. It goes back in. So there's no extra skin. There's no sagging. There's no need to worry or fear about it. So 1 or 2 pounds every week is a safe weight loss. Anything faster is dangerous, right? Anything slow is fine too. I mean, it's good. It's all good. Because once your body composition is changing, when you do your body composition assessment and you start eating correct balances and you understand how to focus on good timings and all of that, because you really and truly don't need to be cutting out everything. And you could eat your favorite foods. You could eat your doubles, and you could eat your stews, and you could eat your curry. And you could eat all the foods that you like. It's just that I'm going to teach you how to create a better balance. What you're pairing it with, how much you're eating, how often. This is key in order to not only help you to live a happy and healthy life, improve your body composition, improve your values, so that you're not dependent on the meds. So yes, it's great that your values perfect, but then if I don't want my clients don't need to take them pills anymore. So once they have perfect values and they do their checkups and they make sure that nothing is spiking and everything is perfect, they wean off of the medication at any age. I've had people in their 70s, in their 60s, in their 80s, in their 20s overcome lifestyle diseases and wean off of the medication just by eating. So again, it's very important doing your own thing is one way, but it is detrimental long term, because you will suffer more and then you'll put your body at risk for other health issues, like, you know, with the loss of the muscles and stuff like that. So,
well, Ms. Kant, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today. Can you give your information as to how they can get on to you, contact you, and where you are located?
Yes. So you could always WhatsApp me. Our number is 480-5380. So you could WhatsApp 480-5380. Hafsa is my virtual assistant. She'll be happy to give you all the information you need. And if you want to do your body composition assessment, the location of the store is Didi's. It's 98 Carney Savannah or Charlieville. So it's D-I-D-I apostrophe S. You can put it into Waze, Google Maps, and it should lead you there. It's between the mosque and the gas station. You should see a big sign, so it should help. But yeah, health is wealth, honestly, and focus on results with your body and less on what anyone else is telling you. You have to understand that credibility advice comes from the educational background of the person, and you can, back to what we started with, you can look healthy and have a lifestyle disease. So definitely do your test. Check your sugar, check your pressure, check your cholesterol, and then let's start working on taking preventative measures so that you don't have to live with any lifestyle disease. Because again, key thing, lifestyle disease. So that means if you eat your way into it, you could eat your way out of it.
Thanks so much, Miss Khan. We'll see each other again next week. Have a good one.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.